Stuart asked me to do this, I was like, well, is there a topic you have in mind? He said, no, you do whatever you want. I said, on the 28th, dead between Christmas and New Year's. I was like, so do I do a Christmas sermon? Do I do a New Year's sermon? Or do I ignore both of them entirely and do whatever I want? And where I have landed, well, we're going to start in Christmas, and then we're going to move forward from there. So I guess kind of in the middle of all of those things. Which fits, because that's what today is. We're kind of in the middle of all this stuff. So this morning is going to be a little different, for me at least, in terms of subject matter, in terms of style. But I think there's plenty for us to dig into. For our starting point in the Christmas narrative, we're going to start in Luke chapter 2. We're going to start in verse 8, and we'll go through 11. And this is a well-known part of the Christmas narrative, but here's what it says. It says, there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. So we know this part really well. There have been songs written about it even. So the shepherds are just chilling out in the field, as they do. Probably literally chilling out in the field because it's probably cold. And all of a sudden, everything changes. An angel appears to them. Now, if we look before this, there has been an increase in angel appearances just prior to this. After no angels appearing for quite a while, there's been a couple of sightings popping up right before this in the narrative. But I'm sure that the shepherds never thought, as they're sitting there watching their sheep at night, that an angel was going to show up and have something to say to them. And we've all been there. Sitting there minding our own business, and all of a sudden something happens, like, oh, everything's different now. So what does the angel say? This is super important, and this is going to be sort of, this message that the angel has for them is going to be what everything that we talk about this morning is going to come from. He says, do not be afraid, and the next part is the key. I bring you good news of great joy for all people. The Messiah is here. So these shepherds from this moment on are charged with proclaiming the birth of Jesus. The Messiah that had been prophesied about and the people had been waiting for hundreds and hundreds of years. And look, during this time of year, we're all about proclaiming the birth of Jesus, right? We're really, really good at it. We put up nativity scenes in our churches and in our houses and in our yards. And for some reason, they always have wise men in them, and it bothers me because they weren't there. They weren't there. But that's my own pet peeve. I'm trying to work through it. It's fine. We put the nativities up. We make sure we say Merry Christmas. We get irrationally upset if someone says Happy Holidays to us instead. Right? We are very much into the proclaiming the birth of Jesus. We say things like, Jesus is the reason for the season. And look, before y'all start sharpening your pitchforks and lighting your torches, He is. He is the reason for the season. We're really, really good at proclaiming and celebrating the birth of Jesus. Why? Because it's bright and it's shiny and it's happy. And because it's easy and fun, like what's more exciting than the Savior of the world coming? After all, the angel said it was good news of great joy. But the fact of the matter is, Jesus isn't just the reason for the season. Jesus is the reason for our lives. People search, we search all our lives for meaning and for purpose and for what we're supposed to do, who we're supposed to be. And Jesus gives that to us. His coming gave these shepherds a new purpose. He is our reason for living. and the reason that we have a future. So let me ask you this. Once the Christmas season is over, whenever that is to you, and we get into the new year, where does your joy go? The good news isn't gone when the Christmas decorations come down. Jesus is still here. The King is still alive when the calendar flips over. So why do we let that joy and that excitement for the good news fade with the Christmas lights? And for some of us, I understand how it is. Your joy about Jesus falls somewhere right out the window of your car the first time you drive onto Greenville Boulevard after Christmas, when you're going to exchange that gift that you pretended that you liked, but you really didn't. I get it. It's hard to find joy on Greenville Boulevard in December. I get that. But when we get past Christmas and it's all of a sudden, it's the joy to the world gets less and we get back to whatever it is that we call our normal. As Christians, we should have joy all the time and in all circumstances. If we look throughout the Bible, we see joy talked about a lot. I don't have the exact number in front of me, but it's talked about in the book of Psalms. David wrote about a lot of complex things in the book of Psalms. David had a really interesting life, and some of it was spectacularly bad, some of which was his fault. He had a lot of stuff happen to him, and he wrote Psalms about that. He wrote Psalms about his sadness, his depression. He wrote Psalms about loss and sorrow. But he also wrote Psalms about joy multiple times. Joy is all over the Old Testament. If we look in Nehemiah, what do we see? It says, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." It's all over the New Testament too. Paul writes several times about joy being rooted in Christ. Our joy should not be tied to the birth of Christ in this specific season. Our joy is made complete in the death of Christ that we are called to proclaim every day of our life and with every breath of our lungs. Because look, yes, the coming of the Savior is good news, right? But it's not the only good news that we have from the story of Jesus, is it? His death and his resurrection are the best news. So the question you have to ask yourself this morning is, are you proclaiming that good news? Because that's what the gospel is. That's what the word means. It's the good news. And what do we do with good news? Well, we know what we're supposed to do. What do the shepherds do with the good news? If we slide down to verse 16, Luke tells us. It says, "So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them." So the shepherds, when they hear about this, they didn't like, okay, well, let's go get some lunch or dinner maybe because it was nighttime or breakfast. Let's go eat and let's go stop by the house. No, it says they hurried off and then they told everyone. They proclaimed the birth of a Savior. That was good news of great joy, and everyone needed to know. How much greater is the joy that we can claim as a result of the sacrifice of that Savior and the eternal life that he died to buy us? The away in the manger Jesus that was there during the time of the shepherds was important. Of that there is no doubt. But he was mostly important because he became the thorn-wearing, broken-bodied, nailed-to-a-cross Savior. And then after that, he became an empty tomb, risen champion over sin and death. That's what we are supposed to proclaim every day. The gospel message that Jesus came to earth and lived a sinless life, died for us, and then rose for us is what? Good news. It's good news, not good news. Good news? It's awesome news. It's good news. We should act like it. It's called the good news in the book of Acts and in the book of Romans. Jesus himself calls the gospel message the good news. So what are we supposed to do with this good news? What do we usually do with good news? Well, most of the time in 2025, almost 2026, we take a picture of it and we post it on social media. If there are no pictures or posts of something that has happened to you on social media, then it didn't really happen. Or it wasn't really that exciting to begin with. If we buy a new car, I don't know what that's like, but I've heard it's nice. We buy a new car, we take a picture of it, we post it, and we talk about it, and we show people, look at my new car. If we get a new job, same thing. Hey, I got a new job. Did you hear about this? If we get a new family member or a new pet, or I've even seen people that get new plants, post about them on social media, but look at my new plant baby. I'm not fond of that particular term for vegetation, but people post about it. The good news, I've got a new plant, I've got a new pet, I've got a new pair of socks. We post about that type of stuff. We talk about it. We get excited. If things that we get excited about, we talk about it. How much bigger is the news that God loves you and sent his son to die for you than you got a new car or a new job or a new pair of socks or a plant or a puppy, even if you got a puppy for Christmas? How much bigger is that news? And where is our excitement about the good news of Jesus? Where is the great joy for us to share with all the people? Because Jesus is for everyone. He was born for everyone. He died for everyone. If you know him, and many of us here hopefully do, you are called to share him with everyone. So why don't we? Are we embarrassed? Maybe we think that if we talk about Jesus and tell people what he's done in our lives, then people are going to think we're weird. I'm gonna hurt some feelings right here. People are probably going to think at least a good bit of us are weird anyways. You might as well tell them about the love and grace of Jesus while you're at it. I get told regularly how weird I am, either by my wife or by my son. It's fine. It hurts less than you think it does, eventually. Maybe you're scared that you're not good enough. I remember when I got baptized when I was 11, one of those two. One of those big ages when you're a kid that everything happens at. It's either 8, 9, 11, or 12. When I got baptized, I remember being so excited when I got baptized. I was like, I'm going to tell everybody about Jesus. I'm on fire. Let's do this. And then the first time I had the opportunity, what did I do? Not that. Because I was embarrassed. And I was always scared. Somebody's going to ask me a question about the Bible and I'm not going to know the answer. And that's going to be embarrassing. Or I'm going to feel stupid. Or I'm gonna turn them off from Jesus entirely because I don't really know him as well as I say I do. And look, and now with what I do for a living, I get asked questions by these people all the time that I don't know the answers to. And I gotta go look it up or ask people that are smarter than me. So maybe you're scared you're not good enough. Maybe you don't think you know enough, or you don't think you have all the answers. I've got a newsflash for you. None of us have all the answers. None of us are good enough. The shepherds in this story weren't good enough to be the messengers of the Messiah. If we were looking for someone that was good enough to do what they were supposed to do, we would probably be looking in a palace or a temple, not a field. These shepherds were no one. We are no one. At least without Jesus, we are. Without Jesus entering into the equation, these are just shepherds, and we're just sinners and screw-ups. But with Jesus, everything changes. With Jesus, those shepherds are messengers. And with Jesus, these sinners, this sinner and screw up, we're sons and daughters of the Most High God. Jesus has changed everything. We have to tell everyone. We as Christians have a responsibility to share the good news of Jesus. That's a fact. That's not really negotiable. Jesus was very clear about it. Paul is very clear about it. And look, it's a big responsibility, right? With eternal consequences. But we shouldn't be crushed under the weight of that responsibility. I know sometimes, like for me, there'll be certain things coming up in my life that I'm like, I know I have to do this, but I'm going to put it off for as long as I possibly can, because the weight of just having to go through it is going to kill me. And one of those things for me is doing my taxes. I hate taxes. They're overly complicated. They are too high, and it gives me all sorts of crippling anxiety. I despise it. Which is why I typically pretend until about 3 weeks before tax day that they don't exist. I sometimes, when I just think about pulling out all the forms and downloading the software, because I do it myself because I'm too cheap to pay somebody else to do it, I am just, yeah. I am crushed by the weight of the idea of having to do my taxes. But with this responsibility that we have for sharing the gospel, we cannot be crushed by the weight of that responsibility. What we should feel is freed and emboldened by the opportunity to share the gospel of Jesus. Jesus freed us from sin and shame and an eternity in hell, and we get to share that gift with the world. That's not a got to, that's a get to. Something amazing has happened in your life and you get to tell everyone. That's like when you're a kid and you get something really cool for Christmas and somebody asks, well, what did you get for Christmas? And it's something that they don't understand. For Carter, it's always Pokemon. He doesn't just say, hey, I got Pokemon for Christmas. He will get into the deep minutiae of Pokemon. Like, I got one of these and this and this. And they're just like, I don't know what you're talking about. He gets the opportunity to tell people about Pokemon. We get the opportunity to tell people about Jesus. We get to share our Jesus with others. We have an opportunity to share this love and this joy with others. So think for a second about the difference that Jesus has made in your life. I know as I look back at my life for the most part has been pretty good. But there are parts of it that were not. And there were parts of it that I do not think I could have gotten through without Jesus Christ. And I assume a good bit of you can probably say the same thing. We need Jesus like we need air in our lungs. You get to introduce your Jesus to others and see him make that same difference in their lives. The good news isn't just a responsibility, it's an opportunity. We have to take hold of it and let God work through us. Because I think something that's lost on us sometimes is this. The same Spirit that came upon Mary and made the birth of Jesus possible And the same spirit that pulled Jesus out of that grave 33 years later is the same spirit that lives in us. And that is amazing news that can and will bring great joy and change to the world. Now go tell everyone. We like to sit at home. I don't like to sit at home and watch the news. I don't remember the last time I watched the news, but we think maybe we sit on Facebook and we see what's happening in the world. And we see, oh man, this world needs Jesus. Anybody ever said that? Yeah. All the time. How do you think this world's going to get Jesus if you don't tell them about it? We have to tell everyone. Think about the joy and the light that so many of us feel during this Christmas season and the hope for better things that some are going to feel throughout the new year. Take that and carry it with you every day. Do not let the enemy steal your joy. Your joy is rooted in the love and the grace of Jesus. And that cannot be taken away from you as long as you remain in Him. And as we get ready to close this morning, go ahead and ask the praise band to come up. I want to draw something to your attention. And it's something that I knew beforehand, but it kind of dawned on me as I was writing this. If we look in the book of Matthew, we see the same exact message in chapter 1 that we see in chapter 28. The same message at the beginning of Jesus' earthly life and at the end. Chapter 1 tells us what? That Jesus, in accordance with prophecy, is called Emmanuel, which means what? God with us. In chapter 28, what's the last thing Jesus says to his disciples? I am with you till the very end. That's it. That sums it up. God is with us. He came to earth in the form of Jesus to make a way for us to be with Him for eternity. So no matter how the world changes and how our circumstances change, the good news never does. Tell everyone. Life changes, but God doesn't. Tell everyone. The gospel of Jesus and the joy that springs from it are rooted in something that cannot be stolen or damaged or destroyed. Tell everyone.